Before we start the show, we want to ask you, the Disconnected family, to please share the show on social media and invite friends and family to listen. Enable the notification bell so you never miss an episode, and please rate us with 5 stars wherever you're listening to us right now to keep this awesome show going. Might as well do it right now, that's fresh on your mind, right? We thank you and appreciate you. Enjoy the show.
May not be suitable for younger listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, Disconnected family, to another edition of the Disconnected Podcast. As always, I am your host, Angel.
And I am your host, Jesse.
And today's episode is brought to you by the quote of the day.
What? I didn't know we were doing this.
Yeah. When nothing is going right, go left.
Wow. I'm so inspired.
Yeah. And if you think nobody cares about you, try missing a couple of payments.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So welcome back to another edition of the Disconnected Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about...
The Lululemon murder.
The Lululemon murder.
And I had heard about this murder case on a podcast called Morbid.
Shout out
to Morbid. Pretty cool podcast. I was obsessed with it when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So I heard this... about this murder case like 4 years ago. And for some reason, it stuck with me. Like, I remember it perfectly. Well, not perfectly, but I think about it all the time.
Yeah. So what is the Lululemon store?
Okay. So on the morning of March 12th, 2011, manager Rachel Wortley arrived at the Lululemon store around 8 a.m. to start preparing for the next day. To her surprise, when she entered the store, the door was open and the lights were on. She was upset that the employees who worked the closing shift forgot to close properly. Mm. And I get this because whenever I have to open where I work, if the closing shift did a terrible job, I'm angry. I'm like, it's dirty. What did they do all day? Did they just sit around and then just close the restaurant and not clean it?
And imagine that literally what they did.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would understand why she was upset. Jaina Murray and her coworker, Brittany Norwood, were working the closing shift. Both were due to finish at 9:45 p.m. and Jaina had the keys and was responsible for closing the store. Okay. So she was pretty upset at both of these workers.
Okay.
Then she noticed the store was completely trashed. Merchandise was on the floor. She felt in her gut that something was not right. The store was in complete disarray. When she called to see if anyone was in the store, she heard faint moans. So before Rachel even checked, she frantically ran out and called 911. While calling 911, she noticed an Apple Store employee looking at her. The Lululemon store shared walls with the Apple Store. She got out and, like in all Apple Stores, people were lined up outside waiting for opening time. Yeah, there's always a bunch of people in there. So it would make sense why she would, like, that's the, when she sees a, like, a line of people and, like, bunch of people, it would make her feel safe to go run there and, like,
yeah, ask and, for help. Yeah, when Rachel went to the Apple Store, like, everybody just looked at her like, what's going on? Because she looked very, very concerned.
Well, yeah, obviously. If you walk into, like, your job and everything's trashed, you're like, something bad happened here.
Yeah.
They didn't just not do their job. They couldn't because something happened here.
Yeah.
So Ryan and Rachel, Ryan, I'm assuming, was the Apple Store employee. Neither of them knew each other, but she asked him to come back to the store and with her, and he agreed. Ryan walked to the back of the store and saw a body lying face down and saw another person tied up, but still alive. Mm.
So the police arrived and went to the back of the store where they found Jaina's body and found Brittany alive in the bathroom. Brittany had cuts on her body. The crotch of her pants was torn and her hands were tied above her head with a zip tie. Mm-hmm. Brittany was taken to the hospital where it was discovered that she had cuts on her legs, arms, chest, and forehead. They also found that she had a 1-inch laceration on her right hand parallel to her thumb. So it's like,
so it's
the,
like, going like down her palm.
The webbing right here of the like between the thumb and the index finger.
Yes.
Like the little skin, like the,
she had just a cut, like
she, yeah,
down
she
there.
Had a cut, yeah.
1 inch, that's a
A very big cut.
That's deep.
Yeah. So when the police were looking around the store, they found two bloody footprints. One of the footprints was from a size 14 sneaker that was found in the store. So the police also looked at the store safes and found that they were empty. From this, they concluded that a robbery had also taken place. So the police spoke to Brittany at the hospital on March 12. She told police that she and Jaina were working the closing shift and closed the store, then parted ways.
Mm-hmm.
Then when suddenly Brittany realized that she had forgotten her wallet after she got into her car. So she called Jaina and asked her to meet her at the front of the store. So Brittany said that when she and Jaina got there, two men in ski masks followed them into the store and tied them up. The only description Brittany gave them was that one of them was tall and the other one was short. So she did not see the skin color of the man, but said they sounded white.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at this point, the police are just like, this is a break-in.
Yeah.
And it went wrong,
mm-hmm,
because they didn't expect workers to still be in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
She said the man sexually assaulted both of them, but Jaina resisted, so they beat her and stabbed her to death.
Damn.
Yeah. Brittany told the police she had been raped and the man used a clothes hanger to assault her. 2 days later, police spoke to Brittany again when she was at home. And she told police that the reason the man who attacked her didn't kill her was because she was, quote-unquote, easy to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So she claimed that one of the men told her this. And she told police the man pushed her against Jaina's body. They abused her and called her, quote-unquote, dirty little slut and used racial slurs.
So this is, like, intense.
Yeah.
This is a traumatic experience for both of the women that were there.
Yes.
And it makes sense because of the way they found the store, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On March 16, police called Brittany to the station because they needed samples of her hair and fingerprints so they could remove her from the crime scene. While Brittany was at the station, she was asked if she knew what Jaina's car looked like, in which she responded, no. The following day, Brittany's brother, Chris, and sister, Marisa, called the police and told them they had information that Brittany was too afraid to talk to the police early in the investigation. Brittany's brothers told the man allegedly forced her to move Jaina's car into a parking lot before she was sexually assaulted. Now, that's where things started to
fall apart.
Fall apart. Like, well, what do you mean? So, the police were like, we asked Brittany if she knew what Jaina's car looked like. And she said no. And now you're telling us that she moved the car?
Yeah.
So after hearing this, the police decided to set up a meeting with Brittany to hear her accounts of this whole other situation. So this was all new information, so the police needed to talk to Brittany to hear her side of the story, because she previously said she didn't know what car Jaina was driving at the time.
Yeah, so she said, no, I don't know Jaina's car. And all of a sudden, she was told by the people who assaulted her to move in the car.
Police were like, whoa, what's going on here? So
yeah,
we got to talk to Brittany to just sort this out, because it's not making sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to dive into the investigation with more detail.
More meatball.
With a little bit more meatball. So Brittany met with the police and told them she was forced to move Jaina's car. She told them she went alone to move the car, but the man said they knew where she lived and that if she tried to run away or call for help, it would kill her entire family. So she went and did as she was told. First of all, you're telling me that you let the girl you had kidnapped move the car without any supervision?
Yeah.
So how shitty of a criminal are you? Like, keep in mind that there are two men here.
Yes.
I mean, neither of them could go with Brittany to supervise her or just keep an eye on her.
Yeah. And they didn't expect her to be like, oh, I'm going to get in this car and go get help.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they trusted her.
Yeah, like, here are the keys. Make sure you come back by 10. Your curfew is 10. Please come back by then.
Yeah, I mean, what if instead of turning left, she turns right and escapes, like, in a car?
Yeah.
Like, are the idiot thieves going to run after the car?
Yeah, they are super... They are the Flash, so they can catch up to a car.
So, what Brittany is saying doesn't make sense. If it is true, of course. Mm-hmm. I smell bullshit.
Mm-hmm. What's that smell?
So, the police stopped her during the explanation and told her that they did not believe her because the evidence they had from that night did not corroborate her story.
Obviously. Yes.
Yeah, so the story didn't make sense either with the statement she made that night of the murders.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where things kind of get a little fishy.
Yeah, they start like, okay, Brittany, you need to settle down. You need to tell us the story, how it actually went.
Right.
Because none of this makes sense.
No, like, first of all, the coroner found a large size 14 man sneaker hitting at the crime scene. So it was the perfect combination with the bloody footprint. So the sneaker had bloody stains on the shoe, but not the sole. The sole was clean.
Maybe they wiped the shoe before they ran away and threw it into the store.
Yeah, they washed it.
Like, yeah, they're like, completely. You know what? The sole, I like my soles clean. Okay, the rest of the shoe can be messed up, but my soles, they need to be.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave the blood on the whole shoe, but no, I can't. The sole is...
The sole, it's...
I can't.
It's gonna bother me all day.
So, second, the bloody footprints were only found in the store with no trace outside. So, did the attacker put on the shoe from the store and then left barefoot?
Yeah, that's what you do when you commit a crime. You leave your clothes behind.
Yeah, because you have... Yeah.
You just undress. You get naked and run away.
And just run away. And then... Brittany's injuries were superficial while Jaina suffered fatal blows. So that's another thing that the police went like,
Yeah, you know, like they...
How come Jaina, she got like the worst part of it and you just... got superficial cuts? Like, what is that? Like, you know?
Like, what is... That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and another point. Her wounds were all straight and the same depth, indicating that she didn't twist or turn during the attack.
So like, she stood perfectly still, T-pose position.
Just
and she's like, go for it.
Don't move. I won't move. Just go for it.
Yeah, and make sure all the cuts look the same and it looks like it didn't resist.
Yeah. But beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, but kill her.
I mean...
What?
Yeah. So also, according to Brittany, she was unable to see the aggressor's skin color despite being so close to him, and the ski mask generally exposed the area around the eyes.
I just imagine it being like the tiniest holes for their eyes. The tiniest like mouth like hole, like, we're here to rub you.
You just don't move, okay?
What?
Because I can't see.
Because I can't see. My brother bought these masks and he's an idiot.
So, the other point that the police noticed, the car Jaina was driving was parked so far away that she was likely able to get close to the store since it was 10 p.m. And then an officer also saw someone in the parked car at 12:30. So there was an up when...
Like
when,
2 hours of just nothing? Like we don't know where Brittany is or Jaina?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in Jaina's car, they found blood smears and DNA from Brittany and Jaina. And Brittany's bloody hat was also found in the back seat.
So how did both of them get to the car?
And
then come back into the store where the robbers are? Do you get that? That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense.
So they're like, oh no, they're robbing us. Go move the car, both of you. Okay, we'll go move the car and come back so you can finish the job. What?
Yeah, bullshit like I said.
Yeah, exactly.
So the police began to think that obviously, Brittany organized the robbery and caused her own injuries to cover up the fact that she brutally murdered her co-worker, Jaina. So when the police started investigating Brittany and tried to find evidence to prove the theory that she set it all up,
mm-hmm.
they discovered that Brittany had a bad habit of stealing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she stole from her high school classmates, she stole from her hairdresser, and she was stealing from Lululemon.
Where they were working.
Yes. The Lululemon managers were well aware of Britney's theft tendencies and were trying to get her fired. But, you know, the process of firing an employee was very difficult. So, especially without airtight evidence.
Yeah.
So, they needed to catch her in the act so they could fire her.
Yeah.
While her absurd lies indicated that she was clearly not innocent of the crime, there was no hard evidence to indicate that she was the only one who committed the crime.
Yeah, so the theory was she and other people committed the crime.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, they thought that she had help from someone.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Drury tried to get Brittany into another lie while trying to blame Jaina, who may have started the fight, and Brittany just reacted to them like the heat of the moment. She just reacted. Meanwhile, Detective Rubin tried a softer approach as he tried to approach sympathetically. But Brittany felt concerned and said she wanted to go home. If you didn't commit something, like if you didn't commit a crime or your conscience is clean.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any problems.
Cooperating.
Cooperating, telling what happened, what really happened. But to just say, you know what, I just want to go home.
Like avoiding questions. Yeah,
like, why do you want to go home? Like,
what are you hiding?
What are you hiding? So the two detectives could not deny her request unless they informed Brittany of her constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
Following the prosecutor's advice, they read her rights so that she could be interrogated for several more hours. However, Brittany stood by her story and denied everything. The detectives began convincing her brothers to see if they could get a confession out of her.
So, okay.
Because she was not cooperating. She was not helping.
Mm-hmm.
So they explained that their little sister's story didn't add up by showing the photos of the evidence against her. And Brittany's saliva was also found on her tie. While her brother Chris also found that her story had too many holes, he didn't want to turn against his little sister.
Well, yeah, when your family members caught up in that, you want to deny that she did anything.
Yeah,
because it's my family and I don't think she's capable of doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but like if you were in that situation, I would be like, hey, but it's Jesse. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't, why?
Why would she do that?
Why would she do that? She just seemed very nice.
And yeah, you don't know.
She just,
you never know.
Ended up being a crazy bitch. So, yeah, so I mean, I get the brother, Chris,
because yeah.
it's his little sister, so.
Yeah.
He figured he still had a chance to get Brittany out of the station as long as she didn't admit to anything. When he was alone with Brittany, he immediately asked her if she had done it. She didn't deny nor confirm it, so.
Uh-oh, usually when you omit an answer, it means yes.
Yeah, so she just said that she didn't want to talk about it there.
I wonder why.
Yeah. She repeatedly asked if they were being recorded, and ridiculously, Chris was convinced that they would not be recorded in an investigation room. Like, really?
Hey, we're going to throw you into an interrogation room, and you're going to talk it out. But don't worry, we're not looking, we're not listening.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's soundproof. So.
Yeah, you see that mirror over there? It's not a two-way mirror.
It's just a mirror.
It's just a mirror.
Just a normal mirror.
Yeah, we're not staring at you through it.
Chris believed that even if they were recording devices in the room, it cannot be used in court. Although, actually, they can.
Yes, you are in an official office
being
ran by police in an interrogation room. Obviously, you're going to be recorded, and obviously they can use that as evidence in court because you are in a governmental building.
But maybe what Chris was trying to do is convince her that they weren't recording the conversation so she would say something.
Oh, maybe he lied to her because he wanted to hear the truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't think she's capable of doing it. I want her to say she didn't do it because I'm just scared.
Yeah. In another room, the prosecutor was listening to everything, obviously, including Chris, who mentions that Brittany can't plead insanity as she has talked to too many people, including counselors. So it also taught Brittany how to lie better, as she had a tendency to look down whenever she lies.
People have their tells whenever they're lying. Mm-hmm. Some people look away.
Or someone just start like moving their leg very, very rapidly. Or, you know.
Little ticks that you're like, okay, this person is lying.
Yeah. So when Marissa, the older sister, joined them, Chris told her that Brittany had admitted it to him. Mm-hmm. That she committed that crime, that she killed Jaina.
Yeah.
So that night of the crime, Jaina caught Brittany stealing a pair of yoga pants during a routine bag check.
Mm-hmm.
It was in her bag, and Brittany had no receipt to prove her purchase. The manager who supposedly cleared the transactions and the computer had no record of this transaction either.
Yeah. So she stole it.
Yeah, so she stole it. She just told, she told Jaina, oh yeah, the manager cleared it. So they checked the computer and there was no record of it. That night, Brittany lured Jaina back to the store. Despite asking for mercy, the judge denied her a reduced sentence. It was a well-meditated murder, and after each hit, she could have stopped.
But you didn't.
But she didn't.
Yeah.
So she was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. People are freaking sick, man.
Yeah, I know.
So making this more tragic, on the night of the murders, Jaina Murray was not supposed to be working. She was covering a shift for another manager.
Yeah, like, bro.
How shitty is that, dude?
Like
you're not even supposed to be there that
night. No, you were doing a nice thing for one of your coworkers.
You were just covering for someone, and when the manager heard what happened...
Yeah, she probably felt...
She was like, holy shit, that could have been me.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't.
It is what it is.
The thing is, if people steal, sometimes they do it out of, like, necessity. They are in a bad place economically and stuff like that. But then there are people who, if you're caught stealing, there's no excuse for you to murder someone you know or even a stranger.
I mean, it's just...
There's no excuse for it.
She killed Jaina for a freaking pair of yoga pants.
Yeah.
Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, how much are they? Like, what?
Lululemon is pretty expensive.
Yeah, but what?
But either way.
$40? $50?
You killed someone for $50.
So you're going to jail for life for $50.
Yeah. And you can't give someone back their life.
You idiot.
It's insane.
I hope she freaking rots in hell.
I hope she rots in prison. And then in hell. But yeah, it's just sick. And I don't know. No, there's no excuse. Unless it's self-defense, there's no excuse for you to murder someone.
No. For any reason.
For any reason. Especially a pair of Lululemon yoga pants. So we're going to jump into the portion of the evidence. Mm-hmm. According to the prosecutor's evidence, Jaina and Brittany left the store and returned 15 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
However, after they initially left the store, Brittany called the other co-workers asking for Jaina's number. When the two returned to the store, Brittany brutally murdered Jaina. Prosecutors found that all of Brittany's injuries were superficial and there was no evidence of sexual assault. But Jaina's injuries, on the other hand, were extremely brutal and she had suffered a vicious beating.
Oh, man.
So this is insane how she planned this.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't a in the heat of the moment thing.
Well,
she had time to think about, like, how am I going to get out of this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not defending Brittany, obviously. But maybe things got out of hand, you know? Maybe she wasn't planning to kill Jaina.
No.
But maybe Jaina, the situation got very heated and Jaina threatened Brittany, obviously, that she was going to tell the managers. And
then she was probably going to get arrested.
Yeah. And maybe she just started pushing her and then Jaina reacted to it. And that's how things...
Yeah. But also... There's 15 minutes there where Brittany could have thought of anything else to do.
Yeah.
Anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And she landed on murder.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
There's no excuse for that. Yeah.
So the prosecution said evidence showed Brittany broke Jaina over the head with a foot-long metal bar.
Oh, man.
That was part of the merchandise rack.
Holy shit.
Dude. After hitting Jaina once, Brittany chased her around the store and hit her with the metal bar repeatedly until she fell. Brittany used a knife, wrench, and hammer in the attack. She also tried to strangle Jaina with a rope. Jaina's hair and blood were found on a rope inside the store. The prosecution believes Jaina was assaulted for 20 minutes, and most of her injuries were inflicted while she was still alive.
Wow, imagine 20 minutes like...
of trying to fight for your life.
That must have been the longest 20 minutes of
yeah,
her life.
And I know you just said maybe it was a heat of the moment thing. No, that was a heat of the moment thing is you choke someone out and like 2 minutes later, they're dead. Mm-hmm. This is 20 minutes of her trying to kill her. Like she wanted her dead because she did everything she could. She hit her with a wrench, with a hammer. She stabbed her. She hit her with a metal like rat, like bar.
She could have stopped. She had the option of stopping, but
yeah,
like you said, she wanted to kill her.
She wanted to kill her. Like this is she said, this is my only way out. I have to kill my coworker. What?
Crazy bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So it's unbelievable that this is. How can you kill someone like this in cold blood?
How freaking cold hearted do you have to be to kill someone? Like
yeah.
This?
So the Apple Store shared a wall with Lululemon, and according to the prosecution, Apple Store employees reported hearing noises shortly after 10 p.m. that same night. So the employees claimed to have heard moaning and shrieking. The sounds were so bad that one of the Apple Store employees reportedly complained to security about it. He claimed he heard voices saying, "Talk to me. Do not do this. Tell me what's going on."
That was probably Jaina, right?
Yeah, she was like...
please, what's going on? Just stop.
Yeah, she was like begging for her life because she's like, "You don't have to kill me. Just talk to me." Maybe she wanted to even help her. And she was trying to be a good like person, good friend about it. This was followed by screams and calls for help and then a cry, "God help me, please help me." Dude. No, I can't. I can't.
That's just too much.
That's
man.
Just a lot.
Poor Jaina.
I'm feel so bad for her, and I do not feel a single part of empathy for Brittany.
Brittany. No, hell no.
No. The Apple employee who complained to the security left work shortly after 11 p.m. that night. None of them called the police. Ricardo Rios, one of the Apple Store managers, said it could be a private matter where one of them just got some bad news and the other was trying to get her to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Another Apple Store security guard, Wilbert Hawkins, wasn't too concerned, thinking the crashing noises was just them knocking over merchandise. The lack of action could possibly be due to the bystander effect, which is true. If you see something going on, like someone faints in the street, there's a group of people. They all think, okay, someone's going to call 911 and go help this person. And then no one does.
Yeah, you always expect that, right?
Like, you always expect someone else to do what is supposed to be done.
What you're supposed to be doing at that time. Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense. Or simply because Bethesda, one of Maryland's wealthiest suburbs, has relatively rare crime. They were located in Bethesda Row, a street that is lined with high-end luxury stores, and at the time of the crime, there were still passerbys on the sidewalk.
So it's just like a normal day.
It was just a normal day. It was a normal night. And people were like, maybe it's just they got bad news and maybe clothes fell in the store. I'm going to go home and go play video games and eat pizza.
Yeah.
It was like a normal... I get it. You don't think someone's getting murdered.
That's the last thing you're going to think about, right? Like, oh, someone's getting murdered. Like,
that's the last thing you think about. You don't think someone's getting murdered in the store next to them. You think maybe they're just, they're having a bad time and maybe someone fell and knocked over clothes or something. But also, maybe if you hear that much like ruckus going on, you're going to go check on it, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a point that you just... Maybe, okay, well, like for me, if I hear that so much noise and merchandise getting tipped over and screams and moanings and shrieks, I would be like, whoa, hold on. All right, this is not just an ordinary argument. Like something bad is going to happen here.
And there was security at the Apple Store. If you're security, your job is to go see if everything's secure.
Yes. Yeah, you had one job.
You had one job. Even if it's not your store, you're going to go check on like... Maybe he probably saw the girls working there. He's like, okay, these are two women alone in the store. There could be someone in there breaking in. And let me go check on them. But no, they're like, oh, everything's probably fine.
So yeah, they didn't do anything about it.
No, they didn't do anything about it. They just heard all the commotion going on next door. And they didn't do shit about it. So that's common sense, but not really.
I know.
I get why they probably didn't get involved. But at least they could have called someone. They could have said something about it. The police, another store, They could have checked them. I don't know. They could have done something.
This easily could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm. But they just stood around and they're like, okay. And okay, so everything started at 10, mm-hmm. like the commotion and stuff. Yeah. An employee left at 11 p.m. That's an hour of you hearing repeated noises and something going on in the store next to you, and you don't do anything about it?
So they heard like a metal bar smashing
against something.
And
screams.
And they just said, oh, that's my shift.
Well, let me clock out. Yeah. I'm going to go play Halo now.
Oh, man. They should have called the cops. And
they should have done something.
Yeah. So, what's the worst that can happen? Like, just a false alarm?
You know, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. Like, I heard noises. Maybe even a noise complaint. Like, there's too much noise next. And it's late. Can mm-hmm. you please, the police, help?
Yeah.
There's too much noise. Can you go check it out?
Yeah, all of this could have been avoided.
Yeah, there was 20 minutes of something could have been done to help Jaina, and they didn't do anything.
Wow.
And 20 minutes of Brittany being able to stop and being suffering. Like, okay, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this. But she was just insane. She was just a cold-hearted mm-hmm. killer, so she wasn't going to stop. So,
it is what it is.
Yeah, unfortunately it happened, and we can't really do much about it other than say, we're sorry for Jaina and her family, and
the security guard, he needs to be fired.
All of those employees should be fired.
All of them.
From, like, humanity.
Yeah, I mean, how
stupid... Have a little bit of humanity.
How stupid do you have to be to not call the police?
Exactly. Like,
it's common sense. You feel... You right away, you can feel that something's not right.
Yeah, but then again, bystander effect, it's a real thing. And people sometimes just don't do anything about it. And things like this happen because of it. So we're going to move now to the autopsy. The medical examiner who performed Jaina's autopsy, named Mary Ripple, told the court that there were 331 wounds on Jaina's body.
Damn.
Mary told the court that this was the most injuries she had ever seen on anyone's body, given that she had performed already over 3,000 autopsies before
this.
Holy
shit. 331 wounds on a body.
This is...
Like, she was tortured, dude.
Yeah. This isn't just a quick shot to the head.
No.
She
took her time.
She took her time. Dude. Ugh, I hate her. 105 wounds were defensive wounds. Jaina used her arms and legs to defend herself. Jaina's injuries included multiple cuts, abrasions, bruises, and stab wounds. Mary confirmed that Jaina was alive during most of them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so... This is just a girl fighting for her life.
Yeah, she was fighting for her life. She was just like covering her head, her face.
Yeah, she was like...
And 105 of those wounds were
defensive. A little below half, like a third of the wounds were defensive. Mary went on to explain that Jaina had 6 blunt force injuries to her head and another blunt force injury that crushed her skull.
Shit.
So she suffered.
She suffered a lot.
Yeah.
Imagine all the agony, like, the pain she went through.
Yeah.
Hit after hit. Like,
and you don't understand what's going on.
I mean, there's probably a point that you keep getting hit and you just don't feel anything, I guess. I mean,
there's so much adrenaline going through your body.
There's so much pain and adrenaline in your body that you just feel something hitting you. She was probably not conscious anymore. Like, she was alive, but she was like...
She was just fighting to stay awake or something.
Yeah,
and
also her strength.
At some point... It sucks because it was such a long time that Brittany was doing this to her that she's like, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I like maybe the first minutes are you're like, okay, I can get out of this. But after that long, I would have given up and been like, I'm going to die here.
So it was on a time span of 20 minutes that Brittany was torturing Jaina, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine those 20 minutes. She came with the metal bar. She hit Jaina. Mm-hmm. And then she would stop. And then she would go get something else from the store to hit her again. So imagine.
She's like, I need to find something to kill her with. And I can't kill her with any of these.
She's fucking evil, man.
Yeah, that's evil incarnate right there.
Mm-hmm.
The injuries to her skull caused bruising to the inner part of her brain. Mary told the court that the types of injuries Jaina sustained were injuries that could only be inflicted with tremendous amount of force.
Hmm.
This type of injury could be found in victims of a fatal car accident. Jaina's skull was fractured and her spine was severed by a wound that extended across her neck. She also had stab wounds to the shoulder, one to the lower back, and two to the back of the neck. She also had ligature marks on her neck that suggested she had been strangled. The injury that ultimately caused Jaina's death was a knife wound to the back of her neck that pierced through her brain. According to the medical examiner, Jaina's death was extremely slow and painful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that.
You can't say anything because it's just brutal and...
I'm just picturing everything, dude. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Very gore, very...
It's just, I feel terrible.
How cold-hearted do you have to be to stab someone on the back of the neck? And, holy shit.
And do the rest of the things that you did. And we keep repeating ourselves.
I know.
But it's just I'm so... Now you know why I remember this episode so well. Like, I remember this... From like I heard this story like 4 years ago and it still shocks me to this day.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know.
More evidence presented on trial. A trail of blood in the store indicated that Jaina was trying to crawl to the back door to escape her attacker, Brittany. Jaina's car was found parked a couple of blocks from the store, and Jaina's blood and Brittany's DNA were found in the car. Brittany told the police she moved Jaina's car the day after she was asked if she knew what Jaina's car looked like, in which she responded no. She told police that she was forced to move Jaina's car, but then she changed her answer to no, I don't know what car she drives. So the prosecution believed that Brittany tried to give police a reason to find her DNA in Jaina's car before they searched it and found it. There were two sets of prints in the store. One of the prints was from Brittany and... The other prints were from the size 14 shoes that were kept in the store for customers to try on clothes. Prosecutors believed that Brittany wore the size 14 shoes to stage the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
They also said that Brittany was the one who took the cash out of the safe to organize the robbery.
Yeah.
So it appeared that both she and Jaina were victims of the attack. She also inflicted injuries on herself to make it look like she was a victim as well.
So this is a person who still has enough of a brain capacity to set all of this up.
Yeah.
This isn't someone who lost their mind and just killed someone. This is someone who can still think logically, somewhat logically, and set all this up so she doesn't get caught for murdering her coworker.
Yeah, and another thing that investigators found kind of strange is that they found Brittany with her hands tied, like zip ties, on the top. They found her like this,
over the head.
Over the head. Who stays like this?
You can put your hands down.
Exactly.
They weren't like around a pipe or anything.
No, they weren't tied to a pole or something. No, she just had her hands together. Over her head. Like, who does that? Who really? That was weird.
Yeah, like you can put your hands down.
Yeah.
They're falling asleep probably.
And they also found teeth marks on the zip tie. You know, when you just go
when
try to tie it.
Yeah.
So
she tied it with her.
Tied it with her own
mouth.
With her mouth. So they found like her teeth.
Yeah.
The teeth marks.
Oh, bro, you're so stupid. Apart from being a cold-hearted killer, you're just stupid.
Yeah, because when I was reading that, I was like. Yeah, like that
makes sense.
She's so freaking stupid because she could have her hands just rest on your body and not just stay on top of your head. Like they're not tied. They're not tied to anything. They're just tied to your hand. Like your hands are. Like
yeah. Good job, Brittany. You're going down as the world's worst person and also the world's biggest idiot.
Yeah.
We're gonna move on to the verdict now. The defense said there was no premeditation. Mm. They claimed that Brittany attacked Jaina in the heat of the moment after they had a big fight over the stolen pair of leggings, because Brittany didn't want management to be informed. She lost control and used items in the store as weapons, eventually killing Jaina. Montgomery County Court Judge Robert A. Greenberg sentenced Brittany to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Hell yeah.
Yes, you should.
And she deserves something
she
worse than that.
She deserves that and more. Like, imagine spending your whole life in prison or a pair of yoga pants.
Mm-mm.
And it's a dumb decision that could have been easily avoided if you were just a decent human being.
She is a shitty human being.
Yeah.
And she's going to rot in jail, so.
Yeah. And then the notes here that you wrote said that some people are just plain evil. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is evil. That is an evil person.
Yeah.
There are good people out there, and there are also evil people out there that should rot in prison. And she is rotting in prison.
She will.
And she'll rot in prison, and she'll rot in wherever else is after this life.
So the Lululemon store, the managers, they put a little monument outside of their store,
mm-hmm.
in memory of Virginia Murray.
Yeah.
Dude, she was 30 years old.
Dude.
She was very, people would describe her as ongoing, adventurous, very happy all the time, smiling.
This is a good person.
Her smile, it was very contagious.
Yeah.
And she had a very beautiful smile, and everybody would say very good things about her.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And that's very, very unfortunate, because she seemed like a very nice
person. Good
and,
person.
Yeah. And the worst part is that
she wasn't even supposed to be there. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter who you are. If you kill someone like that, you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
You're an evil person.
Mm-hmm. You're going to burn in hell.
You're going to burn in hell, and you're going to rot in prison. Have fun. Not really. I hope you have the worst time ever.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening. If you made it to the end, thank you. We love you.
We love you.
Please share the show in your social media with friends, with family, with your dog, with your cat, with your birdie, with your turtles.
With your hamster. We're just going to go over all the pets that you can have that are tiny.
So, please share the podcast. We are growing little by little.
Yes, we are seeing listeners pop up all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy.
Greece, India, Mexico, US,
Canada.
Where else? We're not bragging.
No, we're not bragging. Shout out to listeners, I think in Germany. I think that was our first listener in Germany that was not here or Mexico.
Germany and Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Germany.
So we're going to upload episodes in Spanish as well. Shout out to our
Hispanic listeners.
We love you. Maybe we're going to do 1 week, we're going to do in English, and then the following week, we're going to do in Spanish. We haven't decided yet, but we're going to have a Spanish episode as well.
Yes, so be on the lookout for those. And if you want to, learn Spanish, you can, and if you don't speak Spanish, you can just listen to our podcast.
Yeah, and we sound very different in Spanish.
Yes, we made this discovery last week that my voice just sounds different.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't heard the Hotel del Coronado episode in Spanish,
check that out
on Spotify and on all major platforms, including Amazon Music, Audible, TuneIn, and all the
good stuff.
Everywhere you listen to podcasts, we're there.
Yes.
So thank you for listening. I'm your host, Angel.
And I'm your host, Jesse.
See you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.